Title: Stereo Width for Pads and Effects, with Resampling Only Advanced. Alright, let's build that big, expensive stereo space for pads and atmospheric effects in drum and bass without relying on throw a widener on it and pray. The whole mindset today is this: drums and bass stay punchy and mono solid, and the pads and effects carry the sense of space. But we're going to do it in a controlled way that survives mono, survives a club system, and doesn't soften the groove. And here's the constraint that makes this lesson powerful. We're doing stereo width with resampling only. That means we're printing audio versions of our sounds, then sculpting the printed audio. Freeze, flatten, record resampling, reprint again. This gives you complete control, lighter CPU, and way better arrangement options. Lesson overview: what we're building. By the end, you'll have a little DNB atmosphere bus conceptually made of four things. First, a mono-safe mid-layer. That's your anchor. It's what keeps the pad audible when the track is played in mono, or when someone's listening on a phone, or when the club sums low-end weirdly. Second, a wide sides layer. That's where the excitement lies. Movement, air, panorama. Third, a printed reverb tail layer. Not a reverb that's constantly running, an actual audio tail you can place like a sample. And optionally, a gritty texture layer, that unstable jungle smear vibe you can tuck behind the drums. The big advantage: we're treating width like parallel processing. You'll set the mid so it reads clearly, then you add the sides until you miss them, when they're muted, not until they dominate. Step 0. Pick a source that makes sense for rolling DNB. Choose one main source to start from. A pad chord is perfect, especially minor 17hs or suspended vibes, or an FX wash, like noise plus a pitch tone, or even a vocal texture or a field recording. Quick arrangement coaching: in DNB, pads usually sound best as call and response with the drums. Let them fill the gaps around the snare, lift the last four bars of a 16, or sit behind the bass in the drop without fighting the sub. Set your context: tempo 170 to 175. Think in 8-bar and 16-bar phrases, because we're going to print in those lengths. Step 1. Print your source to audio for readal control. We need an audio clip that represents the pad or FX, including whatever processing you like on the sound design track. Option 1. Make a new audio track called PAD Print. Set audio from to resampling. Arm it, record 8 or 16 bars, then consolidate so it's one clean clip. Option 2. If it's easier, freeze the source track and flatten. Either way, the goal is, you now have a stable piece of audio you can duplicate, slice, nudge, fade, and reprint. Step 2. Split into mid and side layers, using audio workflow. Make two audio tracks, pad mid and pad side. Put the same printed clip on both. On pad mid, we're going monosafe. Drop a utility on it and set width to 0%. Full mono. Don't be scared of that. This is the anchor. Then add EQ8. High pass at somewhere around 150 to 300 Hz. Depending on how busy your bass is. If your mix is thick, go higher. If you need more warmth, go lower. And if it feels boxy, try a gentle dip around 250 to 500. The goal: this track gives you presence and chord identity even when the stereo stuff disappears. Now PAD side is the wide-only energy. First, an EQ8 to clean the low end out of the sides. High pass somewhere like 250 to 500 Hz. This is a major DNB rule. Wide low end is a fast path to a weak bass and messy mono. Then a utility. Push width here, maybe 140 to 180% as a starting point, because remember, this is not your whole pad. This is the sides layer you'll blend in. Then another EQ8, but switch it to M/S mode. Here's the teacher trick: you can make the sides airy without making the center harsh. If the pad starts poking the center too hard, dip a little in the mid. If the sides need lift, add a small shelf on the side around 8 to 12k, like 1 to 3 dB. Tiny moves. Key concept: width lives in the side layer. Impact lives elsewhere. Step 3. Create width with printed micro offsets, the classic audio-based method. Now we do the technique that sounds simple, but in DNB it's deadly, when controlled. Micro time differences plus slight tonal differences. No mystery widening. Just physics and psychoacoustics. Take PAD side and duplicate it into two tracks. Pad L and pad R. Pan PAD L hard left. Pan PAD R hard right. Now the micro offset. Nudge the PAD R clip later by 8 to 18 milliseconds. Dart around 12 ms. Then listen. Coach note: if your pad is super smooth, noisy, or reverb Y, you can get away with bigger offsets. If the pad has obvious attacks, like a plucky transient or rhythmic gating, the stereo trick collapses sooner in mono. In that case, try 4:9 ms, and rely more on tonal differences instead of timing. Now add slight EQ differences so left and right don't match perfectly. On the left, dip a touch around 3k, like minus 1.5 dB. On the right, dip a touch around 5k, minus 1.5 dB. You're not trying to EQ it better, you're trying to make the two sides behave differently, so they don't sum into comb filtering as aggressively. Optional. Tiny pitch variance. In clip transpose, do left minus 3 cents, right plus 3 cents. Super subtle. If you hear it attune like a chorus effect, you went too far. And now, commit it. Resample again. Make a new audio track called PAD Wide Print. Set it to resampling. Record 8 or 16 bars of your PADL and PADR playing together. Then you can mute or remove the L and R tracks and just use the printed stereo clip. That's a big theme today. Do the clever stuff, then print it so it's stable, CPU light, and easy to arrange. One more important detail. Clip fades. Anytime you nudge audio L versus R, add tiny fades to avoid clicky edits and smeared attacks. Think fade in of 2 to 10 ms and fade out of 10 to 30 ms. It's boring, but it's the difference between pro wide and why does this feel weird. Step 4. Print a reverb tail layer, like an FX sample. DNB reverbs need to be huge but not cloudy. The cheat code is printing the tail and treating it like audio you can place precisely. Create a return track called RVB print. Put hybrid reverb on it, or classic reverb if that's your vibe. Predelay. 20 to 35 ms. Predelay is crucial because it keeps your pad's definition while the space blooms after. Decay, 3.5 to 7.5 seconds, depending on how cinematic you want it. Low cut, 250 to 500 hc. High cut, 8 to 12k, and you can go darker in heavy rollers. And keep the return 100% wet. Now create an audio track called PAD Verb Tail. Set audio from to that return, and record only moments where you want the tail. For example, the last bar of every 8, or the last 2 beats before a drop. Then shape it like a sample. High pass it hard, like 300 to 600 hc. Add gentle compression. 2:1. Attack 20 to 30 ms. Release 150 to 300 ms. Just to glue the tail. Then utility width. Tails can go wider than the pad itself. Try 160 to 200%. It's cinema space, not musical core. Arrangement move that hits every time. Cut the main pad right before the transition, and let the printed tail bloom into the next bar. That's how you make a drop feel like it's being pulled forward. Step 5. Print movement. Don't leave it live. Instead of running auto pan forever, we print motion as snapshots. This keeps the drop stable and makes movement an arrangement choice. Duplicate pad wide print to something like pad motion print source. On that duplicate, add auto pan temporarily. Rate at 1/2 bar or 1 bar synced. Amount 20 to 40%. Phase 180 degrees for bigger stereo motion. Then resample it to a new audio track. Pad motion print. Now delete or disable the live auto pan version. You've got motion as audio. You can slice it, only use it on fills, and keep your main pad wide but steady in the drop. This is how you stop stereo movement from turning into constant wobble fatigue. Step 6. Place it in a DNB mix with sidechain and discipline. Group your pad layers if you want, but here's a really clean approach. Treat PAD MID and PAD wide print like two parallel components that both respect the drums. Add a compressor sidechained from your kick and snare group. Ratio 2:1. Attack 5 to 15 ms. Release 80 to 150 ms. Aim for 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction. You're not pumping, you're creating groove space. Advanced but very effective, sidechain the mid harder than the sides. PAD MID might do 2 to 4 dB of reduction, while PAD wide print only does 0.5 to 2 dB. Result, the center clears for drums, but the stereo feel stays alive. Coach notes, your width budget and your reality checks. A big mixing mindset. Choose a width budget. In dense drops, your pad or FX should not be the widest element all the time. Often, the widest moments are tails, fills, and transition effects. In breakdowns, sure, let the pad own the panorama. In the drop, pull it back and let drums and bass be the hero. Microdelay sweet spot reminder. If the center gets hollow, that's comb filtering. Reduce the offset, or lean more on EQ differences instead of time differences. If it's clicky or unstable, use fades. And do a fast correlation reality check using stock tools. Ableton doesn't ship a classic correlation meter, but you can fake the test. Put utility on your pad group and toggle width from 0% to 100% while looping the drop. If the chord identity disappears in mono, your sides are carrying too much essential content. Fix it by lowering the side layer, reducing the time offset, or moving key harmonics back into the mid layer. Advanced variations. If you want to level up, here are a few pro level upgrades you can build entirely with resampling. Dual band width printing. Split the idea of body and sheen. Make one wide print that's mostly 250Hz to 2KHz with a conservative offset, like 4 to 9ms. Then make another wide print that's mostly 4KHz and up, high-passed, with a more aggressive offset, like 10 to 20ms. Blend them. This keeps presence stable and lets the top breathe. Haas with guardrails. If your pad has attacks, create a mono anchor transient. Duplicate the pad print. High-pass up it like 1 to 2KHz. Then trim it so it's basically just the attack region. Keep it mono, dead center, low and level. Now your wide pad can be huge without losing definition. Late reverb only widening. If the pad smears easily, widen only the bloom. Print the reverb tail, then cut away the first 100 to 300ms so the initial hit stays clean. Make only the late tail extra wide. And a fun sound design trick, shimmer without shimmer. Duplicate your reverb tail print, transpose it up plus 12 or plus 7 in clip view. High pass it aggressively like 800Hz and up. Keep it quiet, then resample the blend. It reads like shimmer, but it's literally just printed audio and pitch. Mini practice exercise, 15 to 25 minutes. Here's a tight drill you can do right now. Make an 8-bar pad audio print. Pad print. Build pad mid, mono with utility. High pass around 200Hz. Build the wide layer by making PADL and PADR. Hard panned. Nudge one side about 12ms. Add slightly different EQ dips. Then resample it to PAD wide print. Create a printed reverb tail. Record a tail at bar 8 so it spills into bar 9. Add sidechain compression from kick and snare. Aim for about 2 dB gain reduction on PAD mid and about 1 dB on PAD wide print. Then do the mono test. Utility on the master. Width 0% for 30 seconds. If the pad vanishes, reduce the time offset, like 12ms down to 7ms. Or reduce side EQ boosts, or just turn the side layer down. Your deliverable is simple. A loop where the pad feels wide in stereo, still present in mono, and it does not step on the drums. Recap. You built with the DNB way, stable mid, exciting sides. You used resampling to commit the sound design, keep CPU low and make width and motion editable like audio. You created a mono safe core, a controlled wide print using micro offset plus spectral divergence, and a printed reverb tail for cinematic transitions. This audio version is shortened for playback.